Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15 and 16. Just as we have natural parents, we also have spiritual parents. Your spiritual father can either be a female or a male who is in charge of your spiritual nourishment. In the spirit, there is no male nor female. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a wild wind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father." Now, this is where I want to begin to talk about. If you read 1 Kings chapter 19, you'll be told that Elisha had a natural father. But when he met Elijah, Elijah became a spiritual father. So he had a father-son relationship with Elijah as his pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. This is to emphasize or to buttress the point that there is a place for spiritual fathering. Paul said, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." So Paul is telling the Corinthian church, you may have many instructors. You see, there is nothing wrong to know many pastors. But out of all the hundreds of pastors you know, one of them should be a father to you. And you know who your father is, the one who is directly in charge of your spiritual nourishment. So Paul is saying to them, you may have many instructors in the Lord, but you don't have many fathers. It is only a bastard that has many fathers. Because the mother of the child doesn't know who the real father is. Say, this one is responsible. Tomorrow, you say, this one is responsible. So you end up having like 16 fathers mentioned by your mother who probably could be responsible for you. That's a bastard already. But in the realm of the spirit, there's no provision for bastards. You must have a father and know who your father is so that you can be able to relate. Because if you don't know who your father is, you can't relate as a son is supposed to relate. There are spiritual parents and you also have covenant obligations towards them. This is important so you can be free from possible curses from them. In 1 Kings chapter 19, like I said, you will find out that Elisha had his own natural parents, but he later came in contact with Elijah, who became his spiritual father. Now, it is important to know that those who have been placed as shepherds over us are our spiritual parents. Those who have been placed as shepherds over us, they've automatically become your spiritual parents. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, this is how to pray: our Father, which is in heaven. Praise God. So you must understand and acknowledge the place of spiritual parenting. So when the Bible says, whosoever curseth father and mother, his lamp shall be taken out in obscure darkness, it covers both for your natural fathers or your natural parents and your spiritual parents. That is why it is too dangerous for anyone to go about despising spiritual parents. When you do this, you begin to lose spiritual relevance. When you do this, you begin to lose spiritual value. When you despise your pastors, the shepherds over you, you begin to lose spiritual relevance. To lose spiritual relevance means God no longer considers you. The curse of parents is as strong as the curse of God. And many today are struggling so hard in life because they actually imposed these curses upon their lives. Never sit down where the anointed is castigated or berated. You may just be partaking of a curse without knowing it. Never sit down, never gather against someone God has called or God has anointed. This is important. And I'd like you to know it as believers. Sometimes it's very easy when you see people criticize men of God. Let's just say lead men of God. Beginning from yourself, the church you worship, your father in the Lord. You know, sometimes it is easy for a father and a mother to sit in the front of their children and finish their pastor. Very easy. You know, the devil likes to put us in a place where it is difficult for God to help us. Every person will make mistakes, but God has said that there are certain people you can't touch. He said, leave them for me. Let me do it by myself. Cain told God, the punishment is too much for me. Everybody that sees me will want to kill me. And God said, I'm going to place a mark on you that nobody will touch you. I'll be the only one to kill you. Now, I'm going to show us a few scriptures to understand the place of God and his anointed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12, verse 3. 1 Samuel 24, 6 to 10. 1 Samuel 26, 9 to 11. 2 Samuel 1, 14 to 21. We'll read all these scriptures and we'll see the importance that God places on his anointed, on his chosen vessel. In Genesis chapter 12, he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. This is Abraham, called of God, chosen by God. Now, this promise does not apply to Lot. This promise does not apply to Lot. Even though Lot was living in Abraham's house, this promise does not apply to Eliezer. This promise is only applicable, is only appropriatable to Abraham. Why? Because God has decided to call Abraham and have chosen Abraham and have anointed Abraham for an assignment. And God said, anyone that bless you, I will bless. So Abraham doesn't need to tell the person, God bless you. Provided the person blesses Abraham, God is committed to blessing that person. Praise the Lord. And then God says, anyone that curse you, even if you don't want to curse him back, I will curse the person. So it's like an automatic garbage in, garbage out. So when you begin to despise a called person, an anointed person, you begin to castigate, you begin to say many things, many horrible things, many horrible things. God say, you are already in trouble with me. Because as you are saying it, I'm also giving it to you. And this explains why some people can say, but they are praying for me, but I'm going to the church every day, nothing good is happening. Because no, God is not going to allow it to happen. He said, I will curse those who curse you. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6 to 10. Now this is an understanding of a man who knew the importance of what the anointing and the anointed is. 1 Samuel 24, 6. And he said unto his men, this is David talking, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Praise God. By this time, it was generally known that Saul had been rejected by God. But David said, God forbid that I should do this thing to the one that God has anointed. He said, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He said, I know it. You know, some of us, we know. Some will even tell you, I know he's called. I know God has called him, but he's a stupid man. Praise God. Now, your mouth just wants you to talk so that you can be in trouble. David said, seeing that he's an anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servant with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. What a man David was. Not only that he respected the oil upon the head of Saul, but he also taught his servant how not to lift their hands against the anointed. And that's why and what I'm teaching you today. Don't be amongst those who castigate men of God. Don't be amongst those who quarrel with men of God. In fact, be amongst the people. If they say this person is a man of God, for the sake that is a man of God, you give him respect. Praise God. If you enter a vehicle with a man of God, you know. If you have money, pay your transport and pay his money. Not because he cannot pay. Pay it. That's how to get blessings, you know. Amen. I've read, and it is confirmed. There was a year when Archbishop Benson Edausa of blessed memory was still alive. He had, I think, either Maurice Sololos coming from America to his program here in Nigeria. And after the program, the man is to go back to America. But they finished the program late. So before they arrived at the airport, there was no booking. And Archbishop Edausa went into the aircraft that I was already waiting to take off and enter the aircraft and said, please, I had a guest from the United States and is going back. He must go back today. Please, can someone here do me a favor? Give me space. Let this, my guest, go. And maybe wait for another flight. And it was Dangote that rose up in that aircraft and handed over his seat to the man. By that time, Dangote was not rich. He didn't have money. And right in the aircraft, Edausa prayed for him and said, because you have done this, God will give you a name in the whole of the world. And today, Dangote is one among the richest in the world. That one thing he did. Praise God. He wasn't a Christian. He's a Muslim. But the blessing stood. But I'm sure that in that aircraft, there were Christians who were there. And said, me, I need to go on time. This man, just go and wait. So sometimes, you must understand what the oil owes. You must learn to value people the way God values them. Never dishonor any man that God honors. You'll be in trouble with God. You see, if God likes me and you hate me, you're already in trouble with God. If God chose me and you decide that I'm going to be your enemy, you are in trouble with him. David taught his people. He said, don't lift up your hands against this man. So David stayed the servant. Look at verse 8. Now, I want to teach you to learn how to be good with men of God. Anywhere you go, anywhere you find yourself, especially when you know the person is genuine. David also rose up afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Verse 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy heart? Verse 10. Behold, this day thy eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee, but my eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. The only reason David will not do it, he is the Lord's anointed. How many times have you come to that point and said, no, I'm not going to talk about my pastor like that. He is the Lord's anointed. Because somebody can come to you and tell you what your pastor have done and tell you so many things. You say, because he is the Lord's anointed, I'm not going to be part of it. Let his wrong be there. Praise God. Amen. It's very important. It's very important. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 9 to 11. 1 Samuel 26, verse 9 to 11. Quickly. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Now, this is a powerful word. He said, who can stretch his hand against the anointed? Who can open his mouth against the anointed and be guiltless? Now, you can't be guiltless. But David said to Abishai, don't you dare hurt him. Who could lay a hand on God's anointed and even think of getting away with it? Praise God. Now, this is the commitment of God to the man he has sent. Who can do it and think of getting away with it? No, you can't do it and go free. It's not possible. It's not possible. The man, your pastor doesn't need to hear it. He doesn't need to know it. Just like you can't sin against God and God doesn't know. So there are seven things you do with the anointed that you can't get away. You can't get away. I've listened to some members talk to their pastors. And I said, this man will not go far. No, there's no way. He won't go far. Praise God. I've listened to people talk about their pastor. If you didn't know it, you know it. Sometimes the man may not be right. Saul was already rejected. But David will not do this thing. Verse 10. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take down now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. Praise God. He said, the Lord forbid. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14 to 21. Don't stay in any church that the spiritual leadership cannot freely enjoy your honor. This I have been saying before now. David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Today we slay the Lord's anointed, not with knives anymore, but with our mouth. Verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Verse 18. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gad. Publish it not in the street of Ashkelon. David is saying, the mighty man of God has fallen. Please don't go and be the one to broadcast it. You know, when you hear that a man of God fell into a fornication or adultery, what stand do you take? So, wow! David said, please don't publish it. Please don't make it known. No, don't be the one that will carry rumor about your pastor. Don't be the one that is spreading evil propaganda about him. He said, do not publish it in the street of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Verse 21. And then he said to the mountain of Gilboa, he said, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For there the shield of the mighty is verily cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Praise God. Don't treat men of God as though they are not anointed with oil. I have said this before. Don't stay in any church that you can't honor the pastor. If I cannot be your father, you don't need to be a member here. Look for any other church that you can respect the pastor, so that you won't be under a curse. Praise God. It's very important. Any place that they cannot, if any church that cannot enjoy your honor, please leave. It is better you leave than to stick around and be putting yourself in trouble. You know, it is not by force to come to church. But if you come to church, you must be willing to be fathered. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? Our natural stroke spiritual parents are covenant pillars. They are not God, but they are covenant pillars in God's program for us. And there are things you just don't mess around with, or you and your whole house will begin to crumble. Curses are real. We are told in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7. He said, and without all contradiction, the least is blessed of the better. So, never get to a point where your spiritual head turns back against you That may be too risky. Praise God. Don't get to a point where your father in the Lord, your pastor, closes his heart against you. For instance, there are people in church that I don't consider the members of this church. Praise God. But they come to church. But I don't consider, as far as my heart is concerned, they are no more members. Now, when that happens, the gate has been closed against you. There are certain battles you will never come out from. You can come to church, and while you are going, motor crush you and you die. And people say, didn't they come to church? You know why? Because you have come to that place in your membership where you become more of a trouble to the pastor than a blessing. You know, sometimes I hear what people say. I know the beautiful thing about a highly placed position. Solomon said, do not stay in your innermost house and gossip about the king. He said, even the birds will take the news to him. Praise God. And so the beautiful thing about a high position is that no matter what you say, somehow, somehow it will get to me. If the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me, a human being will tell me. That's how real it is. Now, it can't be hidden. I'm going to know. And so I've listened to some people, I've heard some people, and I still wonder why they are still around. Praise God. No, I still wonder why they are still around. Because you shouldn't be around. No, you shouldn't come. So you don't get yourself to that position where you are in trouble. And some people get themselves into that trouble. If you can locate anything you have ever done against an anointed, against a called man of God in your life, out of ignorance, out of pride, out of dishonor or disrespect or mockery, you need forgiveness from the Lord so you can enjoy liberty. No God-ordained servant or minister is equal to anybody in the church. We may be equal in creation, but we are never equal in assignment. Praise God. Everybody is equal by creation, but we are not equal by assignment. When God anoints a man and calls him out, it makes him different from every other person. Praise God. That's why when Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses, their younger brother, God didn't take it lightly. Miriam became leprous for 7 days, even when Moses prayed. In fact, it was the prayer of Moses that made it reduce 7 days. They talked to Moses and said, you, this boy, you just went and married any woman you want to marry. Miriam had to tell Moses, don't you know, even before God started talking to you, he had been talking to me. I've been a prophetess before you were ordained. And God came down and called the three of them for a meeting, a private meeting in the tabernacle. And the Bible said God stood at the door. He said, nobody is going to escape. And when God stood by the door, he said, Aaron and Miriam, stand aside. And the two of them stood aside. And God said, if there is a prophet in this land, I speak to them in visions and in dreams. Moses, my servant, is not so. Were you not afraid? He didn't say, Moses, your younger brother, is not so. He said, Moses, my servant. So were you not afraid to talk to him the way you talk to him? He said, for that reason, this procession to Canaan will stop. Miriam, leprosy. And from that moment, Miriam was leprous. Aaron had to go to Moses and say, please, my Lord, intercede on our behalf. Ask God to forgive us. And Moses interceded. God said, for what he has done, let her be kept out of the camp for 7 days. So Miriam was taken away, far away from the camp, and treated as a leper for 7 days. And the journey stopped until she recovered. Don't wait until you become a leper before you learn. Don't wait until you wake up one day and you find that your mouth is at your back. Don't wait. How stubborn can you be that you just want to keep doing what you are doing? Some people they are specialists in talking down their pastors, talking them down. Praise God. I've had some. You come to my office and say all the good things, and as soon as he leaves, he will say all the bad things. You'll be wondering, is it not this person that came to me and praised me like? Praise God. No, somebody came and said, sir, oh daddy, thank God for you. God has really used you to change this church. And he left 2 days after, and he's saying that this pastor is the reason why our church is bad. Now, that's how the devil can use you. You know, the devil can borrow your mouth for 5 minutes. Praise God. Amen. Let me round up. Don't allow anybody make you feel that we are equal. Sometimes I see in social media how people talk so much about men of God. And you see people comment. I've been careful that I don't make comments. The best you can do is to wish your man of God well. Praise God. God killed Dotham, Abiram, and about 247 people who rose a rebellion against Moses. It is important to understand what God values and values them. See the importance of a pastor. John 20:23. We'll round up there. You understand the power God has given to his chosen vessel. John 20:23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Praise God. Now, this position is not everybody's position. It's the position of the chosen. That's the honor God has decided to give to those he has chosen. Don't be the one to dishonor them. The Bible says, let them who take care of us spiritually be counted of double honor. Let them be counted of double honor. You are not out of place respecting your pastor. Size, shape, age, status, education has nothing to do with it. It is just what God says you should do. And there are consequences for doing it right and also for doing it wrong.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.